that bearing fruit is done individually, and it's also done corporately as we send missionaries out. And so one of the great encouragements for us with our mission program at Good Samaritan Baptist Church is that we pull out and read letters from our missionaries of what they're doing. I've often said that it'd be good if churches sent progress reports to missionaries, you know. In fact, we had a missionary in, and he joked about this. I liked his joke a lot better after watching my son spend 3 years on deputation trying to get the funds to get down to Peru. He said in the millennial reign of Christ, he said, all the pastors are going to have to go to the missionaries and beg for money. I guess you had to be on deputation for that to be funny, but I thought it was curious. That was Nick Bickish, in fact, that made that profound statement. And he kind of promoted that idea. So again, here as we look at the principle of churches sending missionaries, I want, again, that we would consider several things about that. So I have a list here of things that soul winning produces, and I want to expand that so that it also includes the fact that our soul winning that we do on foreign fields by sending missionaries, it produces these same things. And so soul winning in a church produces certain things, and we just want to go ahead and look at those things. Let's begin again with the scripture and understand some things about bearing fruit. And if you would be with me here in John chapter 15, and if you would, let's stand for the reading of God's word, if you can stand, and then we'll go ahead and make our prayer and proceed to look at our responsibility at bearing fruit. John chapter 15, the Bible says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you again for this exhortation from our Lord and Savior, your only begotten Son. Father, thank you again for the things that we could learn about our relationship with you. And thank you again, Father, that we could learn to abide in you. And I pray again, Father, that you'd even help us with that concept tonight. But Father, help us again that each one here could be a soul winner. Help us again that each one here could be involved in missions to send out soul winners and to send out preachers of your gospel. We thank you for this church and its ability again to send the gospel around the world through your chosen vessels, missionaries again that preach your word. And we'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for encouraging and blessing, meeting needs. Thank you that we could be in the Lord's house and gathered with other believers on a Monday night. Pray again that you'd smile and edify and encourage each one that's here in a very special way. And I'll praise you and thank you for your hand on our time together tonight. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You may be seated as we look again at this portion of Scripture, I like to emphasize again that we're to be all about bearing fruit. And I've gone back and forth on this message and on this concept. I was saved, as I said, when I was 8 years old, began reading my Bible through every year when I was 13. And so that was back in 1960, I got saved. And so I've been through the book a few times, all right. I'm a slow learner. In fact, up until 2 years ago, I was enrolled in a college course for all of my adult life. When I first got drafted into the military, they enrolled me in a missile analysis school, and so I went to school and was enrolled in a formal training for the first 9 months of my career. I was at Rantoul Air Force Base doing that, so it was fun to drive through Chanute Air Force Base. It was fun to drive through Rantoul on my way out here. But ever since then, I've been enrolled in a college course. When I was in the Air Force, they paid for them all. So I kind of felt obligated to go ahead and take advantage of that. And so they paid for all of my college courses. And as I went, I got my associate's degree. We all know associate's degree, that's what you get after 2 years. Took me six, okay. But I got there, all right. And as I went, it just kept getting worse and worse. I finally got my bachelor's degree, and that took 10 years. And so in time, anyway, in accumulating this, I became a professional student. I just love being a student. Every time I drive by a college now, I have this longing to be there. And so I've always been enrolled in school, but I am a slow learner. And so some of the things, it takes me a long time to get a handle on, but I'm persistent at it. So I enjoy that much of it anyway. And this here section, I got to tell you that I've gone back and forth on what it means to bear fruit. I've been at Good Samaritan Baptist Church now for 20 years. I've been in Yates County for 23 years. I can count on my right hand the people that are in our church or were in our church because of my soul winning efforts. I'm probably not very good at it again. But fruit was hard to come by in Yates County. It's a strange place. This place is normal. Well, anyway, there's a whole bunch of strange places in this world. We all know that. And anyway, it isn't like in 1950 when you could just go out and show someone the plan of salvation. People don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. People in Yates County have never seen a Bible. Man, it's unbelievable, you know. And so again, we have a lot more work cut out for us as far as being fruitful. But I want to go ahead and give some thoughts here. First off, on this fruit, I gave the statistic, I think it was last night, that 5% of Christians, only 5% of Christians have ever led another person through the plan of salvation to the point where they'd accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I saw that, I was kind of shocked, but then I took a quick survey, I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. Yeah. When I was training in junior church, we spent a lot of time just teaching our workers how to lead a soul to Christ, lead a child to Christ. You got to be careful with children because, I mean, they'll do anything an adult tells them to. So, they used to. This was back in the 70s and 80s, all right. But again, to lead them to Christ, you got to make sure that they understand where we're going with this thing. Understand that it's an eternal decision. And so a great care, again, in how to do that. But again, I was surprised even there in our church and running the junior church program with, I think we had like 10 workers. How many of them in their Christian life had never led a person to the Lord before? And so we went through the Romans Road and again just went through the steps that you'd go through at an altar to lead someone to the Lord. And I, that's not the same, really, as I, in my opinion, is going out on the street and finding someone and showing them from the Word of God how they could be saved. But only 5%, only one person in 20, that's from born-again Christians by testimony, only one in 20 have ever sat down and led a soul to Christ. We hand out tracts. I told our folks to stop handing out tracts and start handing out Bible messages. People don't know what tracts are. And so we're up on the streets working, and my associate pastor here said, "Here, would you like this tract?" And the person says, "A tract? No, I don't want no tract." They don't know what a tract is. Does anybody here know where the word tract comes from? As near as I could tell, again, is way back when they first started the printing press. They would print a page of a book, and on the side there was a margin called a print track. And if you had some stuff around, you could have it put in there and have it come out as a little brochure. Now, they were printing a book, but they could come out with a little brochure, and that became called a track because of the old printing press. As near as I could tell, Baptists are the only ones who have held on to that term for 1,000 years again. And so people don't know what a tract is. And so I, myself, this past year, stopped calling them tracts. And I found out that I have a lot better reception of people. I like to go ahead and just say, here's my car. It's got my name and address on it. It's also got some Bible verses in there that changed my life. You should read through that. I've rarely had people turn down a business card when I give them a business card. But I always like to say, here's a gospel witness. Here's some Bible verses. Bible verses is most attractive because a lot of people haven't seen too many Bible verses. And they say, "Oh, yeah, I'd like one of them." And so again, I'm trying to get my folks, but it's so ingrained, it's hard to not say, "Here, would you take a Bible tract again?" And so, keep in mind again that handing out tracts is a good thing. We ought to be doing that. A tract will talk at 3 o'clock in the morning where you can. And so, handing out gospel tracts is certainly important and certainly a good thing. But I don't think it replaces the idea that we need to get with somebody that we could walk through the Romans road with them. And so here, when we're looking at this idea of bearing fruit, I've said, what is the fruit that we're supposed to bear in our life? And Galatians 5 comes to mind. I forgot the verse again. The fruit of the Spirit is... Can we do this? There's what, 9 of them? 9 fruits of the Spirit. I got written down the letters LJP, LGG, FMT. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. I got another M here. I already did meekness. So anyway, those are the 9 fruits of the Spirit. I like the last one. I've preached several times on... I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and so I've preached a lot on temperance again. What is temperance anyway? That's where your brain tells your body no. And you can tell by my belly here that I'm not really good at that myself again. But having a self-control. And so those are 9 fruits of the Spirit. They're not fruits of the Christian. They're fruits of the Spirit. Now, we ought to have them in our lives. And they ought to grow and increase as we mature. But those are still fruits of the Spirit. What's the fruits of a Christian? Let me help you with this a little bit. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Okay? What's the fruit of a preacher? Another preacher. What's the fruit of a church? Another church. And so again, that we are to bear fruit after our own kind, that is... that we are to bear, as Christians, we ought to bear other Christians. And I got a long quote here by Spurgeon who said, if I ever stopped winning souls, I'd just quit and go home. I don't know what he'd have done in New York State myself, but but listen, it's important that we do that. And so I want to talk a little bit about soul winning for us individually, but I also want to again make application that we can do that through a missions program. I said we read our letters at Good Samaritan Baptist Church from our missionaries because we got a missionary we don't even support up in Toronto, Canada, a missionary to the Chinese in Toronto, Canada. And he's had a tremendous influence, the Clippingers are called. And he sends, and he gives a report of how many tracts they handed out that month. Boy, I like to read that to our folks. We got a couple up there in Toronto that are handing out thousands of gospel literature in Toronto, and it's all written in Mandarin Chinese. I mean, good grief. It's an amazing thing. And so when we read about our missionaries and what they're doing, the reports they give, I'm pretty impressed very often, and it gives me a little bit of guilt, saying, I need to get busy. And so even as we look at missionaries and our job to send out missionaries, I hope that some of that falls right back on us, that we will become soul winners and bear fruit. And so I just got some concepts out of this chapter here in chapter 15 about bearing fruit. I'm not going to give an exposition of the scriptures. Let's start by looking at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. And mark this verse in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. I got a wide margin Bible, and my son talked me into taking another one because this one I have most of my margins all crammed full. But if you've ever been in that situation, you can't set it down. I mean, there's so many good notes in there, I'll never get them transposed into another Bible. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. We're familiar with this verse. It says this: the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Ooh, I like that. And so we are to be about the Father's business, which is winning souls. Look with me at Daniel chapter 12, last chapter of Daniel. I think we just looked this up the other night. Daniel in chapter 12. Ezekiel, Daniel. And as we look here at Daniel chapter 12, we're closing out some prophecy that was given to Daniel, some visions of the end times. And look what it says there in verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." We got Psalms 126. And let's go back and look at that too. I probably should have hit that while we was back in that direction. Psalms 126. And I think it was verse 6. And we can learn some things about how to go soul winning as well, right here in Psalms 126. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Notice again, there's a couple things involved in that verse that I've liked. One is, again, that there's some weeping involved. I've been out with a soul winner, and we hit our whole neighborhood up in Penn Yan. We hit two whole blocks, I think. And he was come and visited our church for a while. And after we got kicked off several porches and had no results and found no one that talks to us, I thought, well, there's a typical day. We're headed to the car after doing the whole block there, probably making about 150 calls. No one to talk to, and no response whatsoever. And here's what he said: "Well, let them all go to hell." Boy, that shocked me. I thought, that's pretty cold. And what came to my mind was this verse right here. What came to my mind again was the compassion that Jesus Christ had, that they're like sheep without a shepherd. And sometimes if all we're trying to do is put notches on our Bibles for how many tracts we've handed out, for how much soul winning we've done, for how many souls we've led to Christ, we can get pretty cold and forget again that it involves looking at a person and seeing them as an eternal soul that's headed to heaven or hell, depending on sometimes the testimony that we give to them. The second thing, so there's weeping involved in this soul winning thing, and there needs to be a compassion on our part. And secondly, it says bearing precious seed. We bear precious seed. Again, you might not see the harvest, but you can still bear the seed. And so planting seeds is important. I got testimonies again of a fellow who had someone come. He was a Roman Catholic and came to the someone came to his door and knocked on his door and told and found out he was a Roman Catholic and showed him some verses out of the Bible that there's one mediator between God and man. That again, you ought not bow down to images. And you ought not be praying to anyone but your one mediator. And he threw him off the porch and said, "Don't bother me, I'm Roman Catholic." He said for the next 7 years, every time he went into his Catholic church, he thought of that verse. There's one mediator between God and man. Every time he went in and did his genuflecting and bowed down in front of those images, he thought of that verse and said, "Bible said, God said I'm not supposed to bow down to images." 7 years. And 7 years had gnawed on him until he went out and hunted down a Baptist church. It wasn't the same guy even, but hunted down a Baptist church and was hungry to hear the rest of what this guy started to say to him. And so, listen, that's bearing seed. And it never grows as fast as I want, I know, but we have a responsibility again here in this verse as a soul winner to just bear seed. And notice even in that we're bearing seed, doubtless we're going to come again rejoicing. Sometimes we won't know the result of our witness. Sometimes you won't know the result of your giving the faith promise until we get to glory. But I'm convinced that we're going to know the difference that it makes. And again, here when we put this emphasis on it, I just want again tonight go through the fact that we need to be soul winners because soul winning does something for us. Let's do this real quick. Let's run through the Romans Road real quick. I've been going out with Brother Warren Garraway. I don't know if you know him, Evangelist Warren Garraway, but he can talk to anybody. And so we always work the streets of Watkins Glen during NASCAR race week again, and there's thousands of people on the street. And I just love tagging along with Brother Garraway and listen to him start conversations. And he invariably does this. He says, Warren Garraway's out of Oklahoma. In fact, he's got cancer right now and is struggling with that. So he's not on the road. But he used to go to Mardi Gras. He started going to Mardi Gras. He'd go to Mardi Gras and just preach on the streets all through Mardi Gras. Then he started going to any big event, all the NASCAR events. He'd follow them around and just work the streets. Anyway, he'd ask the person, first off, if they ever went to church. And if he could get them to admit going to church, then he would follow up with this question. Even if he had to go all the way back to when they were little kids. You must have gone when you were a little kid, you know. But he'd follow up with this question. Let me ask you, did they ever show you out of the Bible itself how you can know for sure that you're saved and going to heaven? What the Bible says about that? Invariably, they say no. And he said, "Could I take 3 minutes of your time?" Now, it's not good to lie, but he was actually lying about the three-minute thing. "Can I take 3 minutes of your time and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're saved?" And listen, that's such an easy thing to say. I put it in one of my gospel tracts and just laid out his phrases and his interest again so that they could read that. And it begins with that phrase, "Has anyone ever taken the time to show you out of the Bible?" And listen, that's a good opening phrase. That works on relatives. Probably the hardest people you'll ever talk to is relatives. We had a fellow, his mom was dying, and he was praying that his mom would, he had not heard a salvation testimony from his mom. And I was his pastor, and I said, "Well, go tell your mom." And then my wife got after me. My wife's way smarter than I am. And so she got after me and said, "You know, sometimes it's just hard to talk to your relatives. And he asked you to go talk to his mom. Why don't you go talk to his mom?" So I did. And I went, and there she was in the hospital. And it is easy for me to talk to someone else because I do it, again, pretty regularly. But it's sometimes very hard for us to bring the subject around and talk to our relatives. And they say, "Oh, I don't want to hear from you again, you know." Be sensitive again that we can always look for an opportunity to open this Romans road and walk through it. And I'm going to say this, that for me, the Romans road starts in John 3:16, okay? John 3:16, and then we'll go to the verses that we are all familiar with, I hope, in Romans. John 3:16 says this. We all know the verse, and most of the world knows this verse. Most of them have seen the thing up on a football stadium someplace. Even if they don't know what the verse says, they said, yeah, I've seen that before, you know. And it says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, never stop at John 3:16. Verse 17 again gives the details, the information for that, and it uses a very important word. "For God sent not His Son into the world to be condemned to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I like to stop right there and point to that verse and say, what is that word right there? Because a lot of people don't know that they have to be saved. That's a good Bible word. And there's some people that are avoiding it, but a person needs to be saved. And then the next verse tells what they need to be saved from. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And so from there, I like to jump right to Romans and walk through the Romans road. So let's do that as we can. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Anybody got that? Romans 3:10 says, okay, and then right to 3:23. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, I do this a little different. I like to put them in exactly in order. I don't mix them up and jump around. And the next one then would be Romans 5:8. And so if we look at Romans 5:8, notice again it says, "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:12 would be the next one, and it says, "Wherefore, as by one man," and I pause there, make sure they know who Adam was, "by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, I skip the whole parentheses, but you dare not skip the thought that's in this verse. So if you skip that whole parentheses, then part of the Romans road becomes verse 18 as well. And so look with me at Romans 5:18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one," and again that's Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one," okay, and here we got the one being the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God that was introduced in John 3:16. "By the righteousness of one, the free gift." And again, the emphasis on being that this is a gift. "Came upon all men unto justification of life." Romans 5:18, important verse, and it's not on our memory list normally. Then we again jump to Romans 6:23 that says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There is that emphasis on this gift idea. And Brother Garraway said, he'd always use this illustration. He'd say, okay, if I brought my wife a dozen roses as a gift, okay, and say, "Here's this gift, I want to give it to you, but before you take it, you need to go out and weed the garden and do the dishes and vacuum the living room," okay? What's wrong with this picture? It's not a gift anymore, is it? And so the same truth again, a lot of people are doing penance, a lot of people are trying to do some works, I'm a good person, and again, without seeing that this is a gift from God. Then again, we have this pause in the Romans until we jump all the way to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 in our Romans road. When we make that jump, I like to again emphasize that this gift is available to all, but God has laid out a formal acceptance policy. There's only one way that you can formally accept this gift. I was up in Rome, New York. Rome, New York, as you could imagine, is 99.8% Catholic, okay? And again, the difference, the Catholics believe everything that I just gave to you on the Romans Road, but they have not personally accepted that. They have not gone through this formal acceptance. And they have not received. The church tells them that when you receive the wafer, you just tell that Baptist preacher that you received Christ as your Savior because you got this wafer on your tongue. But that's not it, again. And so, again, this is important to understand that this is the formal acceptance, Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the, and there's that word saved again. And get that emphasis in there. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And again, I like to jump to 13 as well. For whosoever shall call on the name of Jesus. Oop, no, wait, that ain't what my Bible says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a Romans road that I like to use, and I believe it's on every one of us here to be familiar enough with that we could share that with somebody, that we could walk through them steps right there and share that with somebody. Lord willing, this week someone will, or the Lord will lead someone by your path who's hungry to hear that. And that's my prayer every week. I said, Lord, I'm going out. I'm going to work the streets here for an hour. Bring somebody by that's close to hell and wants to hear. And so again, notice as we get familiar with that, the best familiarity and the best cure for even this whole message is to go out and practice that. Go out and do that. You can't go wrong again. And even if you stumble all the way through it, it's worth every stumble again. I'll guarantee you the next time, every time I leave a discussion, I walk away and say, oh, what I should have said. Sometimes God kicks me and says, what you should have said, okay. But again, there's just a learning. And until we can get comfortable with that, and listen, in the day and age that we live in, when darkness is everywhere, it's good that our light would shine a little bit brighter and that we would be willing, again, to be preachers of the gospel, to share this. So we're talking about the soul winning and the effect of soul winning. And again, I'd open it up from individual soul winning to, again, the idea that this church needs to be involved in soul winning in as much as it sends missionaries around the world. What does soul winning then produce? We saw already that soul winning should produce another Christian. A preacher should produce another preacher. A church should produce another church. That's bearing fruit. And so we want to be about the Father's business at bearing fruit. We already saw the verses that says, so number one, soul winning produces fruit. Number two, soul winning is wise. And we looked at those verses already. That there's wisdom. It's wise for us. The wise man built his house upon a rock again. There's verses about being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. All of them can aptly apply to the fact that, hey, there's wisdom to the soul winner. There's wisdom who's on someone who has a compassion for souls. And so whenever we look at somebody, I want you to look at them and wonder. I wonder if that person, I looked at a person the other day on the way out here, in fact, and I was going into to market someplace, and out come this guy with tattoos. tattoos all over him. I mean, his face had tattoos. And I said, that is just bizarre. In fact, my second thought was, that's evil. Okay. But my third thought was, I wonder if he's going to heaven or hell. And if we practice that, you could look at anybody and wonder that about them. And then, again, have a compassion on their soul. So again, there's a mixed up generation coming up out there. And they need to hear this gospel message. Soul winning is wise. I don't know if I read Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Soul winning, sending missionaries, is wise. Sending out soul winnings as a church is wise. Number three, soul winning produces attendance. It produces attendance. I had the misfortune of being associate pastor in a Southern Baptist church. Lord forgive me, I'll never do it again. We had left, and of course being in the military, we bounce all over. Sometimes you don't have too much pick for what church you end up in. And so I was associate pastor at a Southern Baptist church, and they never heard of soul winning. They never pounded on a single door. And so Bev and I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start soul winning. I mean, that's what we do. We're independent Baptists, and we know how to pound doors. So we know how to run a bus route. And so we started pounding on doors. And we went through the whole town. It was a rural church. And we went through the whole town and pounded on all the doors in that one community. It took about 2 weeks. And then we started on the next town again, right there close. And all of a sudden, people started visiting the church. And here's what we found. Not a single person that we visited the church. None. Zip. Nada. The only people, and we started investigating, said, where are these visitors coming from? And so we investigated, and here's how they found that little church out in the middle of the sticks of Nowheresville, was because their mother-in-law gave them this tract and said, hey, we heard about this church. It was always second or third person, very often third person. Someone we visited heard about a church and knew someone else that was looking for a church. And that's how all of the contacts and visitors that started coming to that little church again were second and third person results of door winning, door knocking. Just going out and being a witness. And so I encourage you again that it produces attendance. Maybe it doesn't produce the attendance like you want it to. But again, it does produce attendance. God will bless your efforts again in soul winning, even with visitors, even with increased attendance. Number four, soul winning produces joy among members. For a long time at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, the guys would all get together and talk about hunting. We're all big on hunting. Or fishing. We're big on fishing with all the lakes up there. And so that's all they talk about, is hunting and fishing. Right now, praise the Lord, our men get together and talk about who gave what tract to whom that week. And listen, the whole atmosphere's changed. And again, this is the beginning of hunting season. I mean, bow season's already started, and I'm missing it right now. But they aren't talking about hunting anymore. They're talking again about who handed it. And Bill started that. Bill Labar, he said, in prayer meeting, he said, pray for me. I'm going to pray that I get to hand out one gospel tract. He still calls them tracts. That's how archaic, you know. I'm going to have to pray to hand out a gospel tract every day of the week. And so Bill started that. And then our associate pastor, he said, yeah, I need to do that too. And so they started it, and then they come in with testimonies, and pretty soon other people are talking about, hey, I got to talk to this person. And our prayer list has increased by people that they have talked to. And so it produces joy. It produces that when we get together, there's edification. And that's good for us. And we're charged up and ready to go out and do something rather than go hunting. And so it's been good. And I've been excited about that. I've enjoyed seeing that great change. Listen, it produces joy. It says they're going to come again with rejoicing. Some preach about 5 crowns. I don't know, you probably heard the message about 5 crowns in the Bible. I personally got 7. I added the crown of thorns. I think it's important to understand that was a man's crown, right? That's what Jesus wore, a crown of thorns. And the other is a crown of righteousness that was given to a man. The Lord Jesus Christ wore the crown of righteousness. And then those other crowns we can win. And, well, a lot of people say, well, I'm not in this to win crowns. Well, that's very noble of you again. But what we're going to do with them crowns? We're going to cast them at the Savior's feet, Revelation chapter 4. And so we ought to be desirous to have a crown, to have a reward. And so as we consider those things, again, understand that there's great joy and there's great reward. And it's edifying, again, to be around other people talking about their soul-winning efforts. Number 5, soul-winning produces love among members. Now that's almost the same as, again, the joy thing among members, but love, again, is when Bill made that prayer request, a lot of folks said, I'll pray with you. They bonded together with Bill and say, I'll pray with you. And I think every time I prayed for it, I felt a little guilty that I'd gone through a day and I didn't hand out a tract and I better get on the ball here. But it produces a love for one another. When we see and we hear about the plights that someone else is in to be soul winners. And so again, soul winning produces love among members. And just being conscious and being able to talk about that together and to share with one another again, that gives us, puts us on a different level as far as edification, encouragement, and helping one another and loving one another. Number 6, soul winning produces better finances. You remember Brother Reverend Marvin Mungle? Yes. He come out and he preached. In fact, he preached most of this message that I got here at different times during the week. I just tied it all together a little different. But he tried to make an analogy about, remember, we're to be fishers of men. And they even worked for Peter when he went out and caught a fish. It had money in its mouth. And I said, I think you're stretching this a little bit here again. But you got to see that it's obvious that might have been more on the fishing line again. But you got to understand that, hey, producing Christians, bearing fruit, adding to attendance, it helps the finances of a church. It's a boost again to finances. Not only so, but even in this faith promise, consider what we're talking about for faith promise is that if you'll take and say, Lord, this is what I want to give so that others can go out and preach the gospel and be soul winners. God says, oh, look, there's a couple. They want to be involved and they need the finances and they'll give you finances. God will give you the finances you need if you'll give them and pass them on. God will give more through you than he will ever give to you. And so again, just the process of being a soul winner through a missions program produces finances in the church. Being involved in Faith Promise increases the tithes of a church, increases the giving of the church. It changes the attitude of the givers. So again, that we see increases in finances. Now, don't get the cart before the horse. We don't think, man, we're bad in finances. We need to do something. Let's try that. This isn't something that we're trying again. This is something that we're commissioned to be doing. And then number 7, soul winning produces clean members. Soul winning produces clean members. At that Southern Baptist Church, it wasn't very long before we had a whole bunch of other members there saying, hey, we want to go.